and I wish God's blessing. We come here to have a new experience with God. We come by faith. We come in expectation. But we also come with a thankful heart. With a thankful heart for all that what God has done already. And whoever looks at this as granted, he has not yet understood that it is something extraordinary. God has done in our days something extraordinary. And in this extraordinary doing of God, we may have part. We would still be sitting today, the one here and the other there, if God would not have called us out, loving us out, leading us out, revealing unto us His word and His will. We want, with a thankful heart, meet our God also today. And it came into my heart that we will choose hymn number 7 as the hymn for these gatherings. Lord, you have done great things here on us. We jubilate in the dust and worship you. We praise your might of your grace. You, the friend of our soul. Let us sing it with all our hearts. Hymn 7. Lord, you have done great things here in us. We jubilate in the dust and worship you. We praise the might of your grace. You, the friend of our soul. Glory to you, Jesus alone. Glory to you, Jesus alone. Everyone who has breath in him, let him tune in. Glory to Jesus. Yes, Jesus alone. You, the crowned head of your children, you show yourself to everyone who believes. You walk in the midst of your own, so that everyone feels your presence. Glory to you, Jesus alone. Glory to you, Jesus alone. Everyone who has breath in him, let him tune in. Glory to Jesus. Yes, Jesus alone. King of the hearts, you have purchased us and baptized us with a spirit and fire. Take us now with body and soul, for we are yours, Emmanuel. Glory to you. Glory to you. go through the land, O Savior of the world, and humble him who still resists you. Wake the sleeping sinners quickly. May the reward of your pain be given to you fully. Glory to you, Jesus alone. Everyone who has breath in him, tune in. Glory to Jesus. Yes, Jesus alone. I would like to read from Matthew 7, from verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Firstly, this precious and holy word. Here, without if and but, the divine answer is given to everyone who comes to him. He that asks, receives. He that knocks, to him it is opened. A German proverb says, he that seeks and doesn't find shall seek on. But God tells us here in his word very clear, ask and it shall be given to you. Let us believe it today. Let us believe today what God said, and it will be given to us. Faith is not one's own effort. We don't refer to ourselves, but we come to the Lord as we are, without own imaginations, and we let ourselves be addressed by him through his word. Let us take it today very personally, believing it. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Not one point which is expressed negative, and this would also be unworthy of God. It behooves to God that he keeps his word, and to them who seek him, that he lets himself be found by them, and that he is a rewarder to all them who come to him. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now comes the emphasis. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Can it be said to you and me more clear? How wonderful and faithful is our God. He was seeking us, and he found us. Now in our heart is a longing to seek him and to find Him, to experience Him in the power of His resurrection, that all these things can become a divine reality by His grace. You know, when I make my journeys, I come across the most impossible and unbelievable theories, which are so far away from the practice and reality as the East is from the West. Everything what God does is always in connection with the word of His promise. And therefore, the faith in us, not blurred, but very goal-orientated. The faith is not that what people call it vernacular, but the divinely worked faith is the faith, as the scripture says. And this faith is just followed by the experience. Every man who wants to be saved and who recognizes that he is lost and calls upon the name of the Lord, he will be saved. This God not only promised, He stands to His word. And Brother Branham, time and again, he emphasized it. If God has saved and redeemed the first sinner because of the shed blood, then He must act with the last one in the same way as He did with the first. With God, there is no change. His decision cannot be changed. With Him, the weather doesn't matter. Nothing can influence Him. He has chosen us by making Calvary a divine reality here on this earth. The veil was rent. The way is free. We see the mercy seat, not the judgment seat, the throne of grace. And we come to God in perfect faith to receive help and grace in the time of need, as the Holy Scripture says it. In these days, we want to be acquainted with that God is reality, and everything what is in connected with our Redeemer and then also with the redeemed is also divine reality. And I repeatedly lined it out. The birth of our Lord, His life, His suffering, His ministry, His dying, His burial, His resurrection, everything were experiences, everything was fulfillment of Scripture. It was foretold. David said by the Spirit, I will not suffer His Holy One to see corruption. You have shown me the way of life, and joy is in Your presence in fullness. Every word which was foretold on our Redeemer was literally fulfilled. The prophet said in Micah 5 from verse 1, Thou Bethlehem, thou art the most little among the cities of Judah. Out of thee shall He come forth unto me who is Lord in Israel. Who has led it in such a way? when the time came that our Lord should be born, they went there. Why? So that the scripture might be fulfilled. And when a Caesar Augustus has to make a decree that all the world shall be counted, God, of course, can take a Caesar Augustus or some king, as then King Cyrus, who had to make the decree that the temple of the Lord should be rebuilt. God has everything in his hand. He doesn't sit somewhere drawn back and just watches what the devil causes mischief. God is on his plan, and everything is subject unto him, as a song goes. Although we are sometimes shaken to and fro, God is our rock, on whom we have been grounded. In him we also have the steadfastness. We want to honor our God through faith. If we don't believe, we will die in our sin. If we believe, we have crossed from death into life. As certain as unbelief is followed by the spiritual death, so certain faith is followed by spiritual life. It's just like that. God has arranged it in this way, and it remains like this. If I think about what God has done, then we have no choice but to recognize what kind of gracious visitation of our God took place in this generation. And if we then continue to think about where we all would have ended up, if not God would have addressed us, calling us out, leading us out, and wants to place us now into his plan. The being led out is the one part. The new placing and put together is the second part. Many had no problems with the coming out. But now it is important that we let ourselves be placed. And in these days, we will not pray cramped, but very relaxed. We will meet our God by faith through Golgotha. God sees me, God sees you through Calvary. Could he bypass Calvary? Then his wrath would break forth. But this he cannot. As long as there is the time of grace, God looks at us mercifully through Calvary. When then the time of grace will be over, the wrath of God comes forth. And then the mercy seat turns into judgment seat. The Savior becomes the judge. Then everything turns around. But now it's still the time of grace. Now we may still come. Precious heart, let it be said to you today, in the name of the Lord, God has done great things in us. Jubilating in the dust, we worship him and praise the might of his grace. And we thank him for that what he has done. Please let us not forget these words. Ask, and it shall be given you. Whatever may be upon our heart, and even it's the requests which God has laid in our hearts, according to his word and will, and which we then bring over our lips, then God cannot do otherwise but to hear. If somebody asks outside of the word of God and spreads out a list of wishes like at Christmas, that this doesn't work out, we all know. But if we have a promise in the word of God, and we come with this promise by faith and in prayer to the Lord, then God cannot do otherwise but to answer. If somebody prays, Lord, give me a new Mercedes or such things, that this doesn't work out, this we all know. But if we truly concentrate our view, our heart, everything on that, what God has promised us, yes, who would God be if he tells us to seek him, to knock, and so forth, and then would not hearken to it when we do what he has said unto us? No, God is faithful. God is true. And even today we can find him. Ask, and it shall be given you! Exclamation mark. Finish. That's how we were told. The philosophers, they may make a question mark here. This is of no interest at all. We have come to the faith, not to remain in unbelief, but to honor God through faith. And faith is, of course, not our own effort. Faith is to trust God that what he promised, he will also fulfill. And this we see on the basis of all of the plan of salvation, up to the promise which he has given, that before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes, he wanted to send the prophet Elijah. And then all are upside down and say, this is impossible, and if so, then it should be someone else, and this and that should be. Nothing should be at all. God is not accountable to anyone. He does what he likes and speaks loud and clear. Blessed is he who is not offended at me. There are people for whom the doings of God is intended, and they receive it just as God gives it to them and as he does it. For those to them it is probably not intended, they always have to criticize something. And we see it until today. If some read the letters of Paul, you sisters, you of course don't do this. But how often do I hear that? When I travel through the countries, and then come female evangelists and female teachers and such people, and if they then hear the name Branham, then they go through the roof and say, he had the same attitude like Paul, who didn't know anything else but to bash on the women. Whoever sees it like this has not recognized at all how well God meant with the women. that he has released her from all responsibility and has given them an area in which they can totally shine through. But whoever doesn't see it like this, he of course has trouble and will not be able to cope with it. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God with all our hearts that he in these days had a man upon whom the same Spirit of God rested. The same Spirit of God rested on all the prophets and upon the apostles. The Spirit of God of the Lord, and therefore the full conformity in everything what was taught and said. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. May God bless this word on all of us, laying it into our hearts, that we today, not as beggars, not as one who receives alms, somehow knocking at the door of our God, but as heirs of God and co-heirs of Jesus Christ, as God's people with whom the Lord made the covenant through the sacrifice of Calvary. We will not go into teaching alone until the end, but until the end, the core of the proclamation will be the redemption which happened on the cross of Calvary. What good would it be for us if we would teach the people about everything in heaven and on earth when they go down afterwards, because they didn't experience God, because they didn't receive new life from God? Everything forms a unit and belongs together. Our experience with God, then the teaching and the introducing into everything what he ordained for us in this time. Today we shall pray, and we want to make use of this time to really thank the Lord from the bottom of our hearts. In prayer meetings there is liberty. Everybody can open his mouth, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth shall speak. But please, let us be careful, without intro and outro, without stretching, coming to the core of our thanksgiving, to the core of our requests, or whatever it might be. We don't need to demonstrate to anyone that we can pray longer, but we want that the Spirit of God gives to all of us this spiritual liberty, and then also considering the other ones, so that as many as possible can pray, and that no pauses come up. The one stops, and then 99% say Amen, and the next one starts already to thank the Lord. And I think there should not be one soul amongst us who would have no reason to thank the Lord. If some don't want to pray loud, or cannot, or think that it doesn't behoove to them, so just pray with everybody. Must pray. Whoever asks receives. Whoever does not ask receives not. He who knocks, to him will be opened. Whoever does not knock, yeah, to him it will not be opened. It just belongs to it. Whoever seeks, finds. Whoever knocks, to him it will be opened. And who asks, he receives. Today, we may experience these words which came from the mouth of the Lord as a reality by His grace. And if you don't know for what you should precisely ask, then say to the Lord, faithful God, you know what I need. Give it to me by your grace. And you will see God will be nigh to us. He will reveal Himself to us. Blessed be His holy name. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Amen. Hallelujah. My God, O God. Hallelujah. I really would like that we learn this one English chorus. Yeah.
Sinngemäß übersetzt, ich liebe ihn, denn er hat mich zuerst geliebt und erkaufte mir das Heil auf Golgatha. Das ist die sinngemäße Übersetzung. Amen.